This is Mornings with David Bevan
on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Good morning, Helen Connolly.
Good morning, David.
Now, Helen Connolly, apparently you have put out a new report which reveals that Year 8, 9 and 10 students are regularly experiencing sexism and racism at school, including from teachers, and there are problems with policing. I imagine this is involving mobile phones and social media and bullying and vapes. All of this is coming together in your report. And one of the ways this manifests itself as a problem is in the locking out of kids from toilets, because that's where they gather to do things that the school is trying to control. Can you explain to us what's in your report?
Yeah, so it's probably best to give a little bit of context, because the toilet and vaping always grabs headlines. But essentially, last year, context A, my job is to represent the rights and interests and wellbeing of kids in South Australia, so we've got that. I've been really concerned about the wellbeing data coming out of the department for some time, but particularly we see in year 8s, 9s and 10s, there's a real drop-off in happiness and optimism, engagement with teachers, feeling like they belong at school, all those kind of issues. So in order to kind of find out what was going on, last year I thought, I'll have a focus on year 8s, 9s and 10s, who most people in schools and communities consider to be pretty tricky years of development. So I went out and spoke to 550 of them across 28 schools, metro and regional, and just really to ask them what was happening for them at school, what were the issues, but then what were some of the suggestions they had to improve it. So that's where the issues of toilet access, the issues of feeling that they don't belong, about sexism, all those things came out. Now, they come out, you know, you will have covered this in lots of ways, wouldn't you? Like, these are the issues that are impacting kids in schools.
Right.
So, toilets, yes. an issue because, and I've always said, you know, if I have time when I'm older, I might do my PhD on toilet access. They're very contested spaces, and when I think back to my schooling, they probably were then as well.
I think so. I don't think that much has changed, Helen, since you and I were there. No.
Exactly. So what we know is they've always been places where people would gather. I guess kids have changed somewhat, and the activities in these toilets, and there are more kids in schools. So some of these schools are really, really big. So what they're saying is the access to bathrooms is an issue. So it's an issue at all different levels. But the big thing that it's saying to kids is you don't trust us, but it's not that you don't just trust us. You're also not engaging us in the solutions. So if you talk to us about how to deal with these issues, because they're issues for kids as well as for the school, then we might be able to come up with a better solution. But at the minute, access to toilets is very kind of symbolic of how they're feeling quite disempowered in their schools.
So are some schools closing down access to and restricting access to the toilets because they think the kids are getting up to nefarious things there?
I think these are legitimate concerns in schools. I'm not suggesting that things aren't happening in toilets. I think what we're saying is whether it's vaping, whether it's mobile phone use, whether it's just bullying, whether it's, you know, whatever, whether all of those things happen. But what also happens is toilets have also the space where if you need to have a pulling yourself together, if you need to kind of get your emotions in check, if you need to have a bit of a breather, that's also the space you can do that privately as well. So toilets have always served those kind of purposes. And, you know, I remember at school going, you need a little cry. Then you go and then you can come back out and face the world, you know. That's a kind of meme across movies, everything, isn't it? Like, that's how we use toilets often. So what kids are saying is that's what they want to do. Teachers are saying, well, that's problem, and leaders are saying that's problematic. And what they're doing is saying, all right, well, let's restrict access. So that's often the solution that schools will come to, whether it's hall passes, slips, permission, locked doors, whatever it might be, the access is restricted. And that in itself is problematic for kids having to ask to go. you know, then there's all the, are you really going? What are you doing? You know, it's all of that stuff. And kids are saying, it's embarrassing, it's controlling, it's whatever it is, it's a problem.
And it's also 17 minutes to 10. Apparently I gave the wrong time out a moment ago. Sorry about that. Yes, it is. It's definitely 17 minutes to 10. And we're talking to Helen Connolly. She is the Commissioner for Children and Young People. So it's always been a problem, this access to toilets. But it's showing up in different ways at the moment, because the schools are actually they're cracking down on access to the toilets because kids are going off there and vaping or bullying or using their mobile phones or whatever. You do have these rooms, though, don't you, where you can, like, what do they call them, well-being rooms?
Well-being rooms. That's another thing in the report, because we, you know, schools have had major works done to them, and for the last few years, schools were building sites, most of them, and now there's been a lot of work on upgrading facilities. I think one of the things that's been missed in this upgrade is the input of kids into the design. So what tends to, they see it more now, lots of glass, lots of open spaces. I think designers would say they've designed for passive surveillance. Everyone thinks it's good. Mm-hmm. Kids now talk about feeling watched. So they feel that their surveillance isn't as passive as we might think it is. And in fact, it feels a lot like being under the gaze. So what they're concerned about some of these wellbeing spaces are, and again, from the perspective of the school and they needing to kind of, you know, duty of care, all those kind of things, they're saying, well, we put adults around to keep it safe. The view of kids in that space is, but we don't want to always have to tell you why we want to use the space. So if you're asking us, what's the matter, what's the matter, what's the matter, that makes it worse. Sometimes we just need to be able to go, sit, be, collect our thoughts, listen to some music, and then go back and face the world. Mm. The saying is that's not an option in most of these spaces because, again, the school has a different perspective on what the problem is. So fundamentally the whole report kind of talks to that fact of, hey, there's some issues, absolutely. When adults design the solutions on their own, they're not going to be nearly as good as when they include kids. Likewise, if you gave it all to kids and said, come up with your own solution, that's not going to be as good as if it's with adults as well. So the report's about a whole range of things that kids say. Just engage us. Let us have more say in what's happening in the environment because we're the ones experiencing it day in, day out.
Is it also a case that if we just focused on basics, you know, basic decency, but basic concentration on your work, instead of going around asking kids how they're feeling all the time, we might be a bit better off?
Well, I think it's really interesting, that whole thing about what's basic concentration on your work, because I know for me, if I'm going to write something or really get into it, I like silence. But you find me a kid now who's not got, you know, wired, who hasn't got music playing, looking at something, reading. They're kind of different. They're different beasts in that sense. They are able to multitask in ways that we haven't, and that kind of... So for them, they would say to me, the other big thing they want is, why can't we listen to music when we're doing our work in school? Now, we would say, you know, for some of my generation, we go, that's a bit outrageous. But then I think I come to work, and if I don't have the radio on, I feel I can't kind of get into the vibe either.
No.
So I think it is, it's not just about how they feel, it is about how they kind of learn best. And what they're saying is, we want to go outside more, we want more team-based work, we want more interactive kind of learning, we want support animals, we want better. We kids, actually, the year eights are saying, and the year sevens are saying, we want to be able to play at school. You know, we want to actually be able to have things you can hang off for.
I just wonder whether we think about this stuff too much, Helen.
Well, I think one of the things, you know, is that we also collect data, and if we're going to collect data and it tells us things aren't good, then we're kind of obliged to do something about it.
Yes, but see, this is the thing. If you have a commissioner for children and young people, with the best of intentions. You're going to go out and ask kids what they're thinking about, and they're going to sit around and they're going to come up with all sorts of stuff, as opposed to, you know what, kids, you're here to do your work, get on with it. That's the toilet. If we catch any nonsense going on, there will be consequences. Stripping the system back to some basics, as opposed to asking the kids to sit around and tell us how they feel.
I mean, I think there's also the thing around if we know that we've got really high rates of kids not attending school, if we know that we don't have, the kind of skill sets for kids coming out of school and that our whole kind of future essay, productivity, you name it, relies on a certain amount of education and skill sets and being smart and all those kind of things. We also then need to make sure that we're getting kids through the system. So if there are things, and kids' lives are complex in ways that are far, just so different to when I went to school. So if we have to take into account, all our other systems have had to kind of adapt to the fact that people's expectations have changed. Well, parents and children's expectations have changed of how they learn, what they learn. So I think, I think it's also about, if you just go and say, what's your problems, then you're going to get you'll get a big long list. I think one of the things I do is I say, all right, tell me what some of the issues are, but then say, what would you do to make it better? So all of my reports are about actually this is what the system can do to listen and act on this stuff. And it's not, we're not talking massive wholesale change. We're talking about some pretty basics. Talk to kids about how we're going to, facilitate access to bathrooms. Talk to kids about how do they want some of these behaviour management stuff done. Because the other thing they talk about is things like, stop picking us up for having the wrong colour socks and letting the kids who are kind of on the Andrew Tate stuff yell out stuff in class. Like they say, where's your priorities? And so, I think it is about actually engaging them as a whole group and saying, let's talk about how this is shit. These are communities. They're big communities, some of them. They're bigger than some of our country towns. So let's actually have some structures that include them in the kind of decision-making.
Helen Connolly, thank you very much for giving us your time this morning.
Okay, no worries. Thanks, David.
Helen Connolly is the Commissioner for Children and Young People, and she's talking about her latest report. I'm sure if you typed into a search engine, Commissioner for Children and Young People, SA, you'll be able to find it without much trouble.